You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
And yeah, it just would go off. It'd be frightening. I wouldn't, you know.
Wow.
I want to have my own security with me.
Reminds me of the old.
It would be amazing.
Reminds me of the old joke on The Simpsons. Are these Brazilian nuts? In Brazil, we just call them nuts. You know what I like to do, boys?
Yep.
I don't know which ground it is, and maybe our listeners can help us out, but I want to go to the West.
It can't be a bucket list because it you is. Don't even I can't, know
no,
what it is.
No, you'll understand when I say it's one of those great ports in the West Indies. I want to go there and watch
Port Elizabeth.
Tawny Port.
I want to get on the hill where they have the inflatable swimming pool, sit in that all day and drink rum.
You shan't be sitting anywhere near a pool with your shirt off. You shan't be doing it.
Why not?
I want to see you jump out of the grandstand a la Greg
you
Ritchie
get
and spill onto the pitch.
That pool will be green. That water will be green by the time I get out of that at the end of the day. What is your bucket list sporting venue and which contest do you want to see? 0457 736 736. Scottish accents have been voted the sexiest accent in the world.
What?
I don't get that.
No, neither do I.
Can you do one for us?
Hey.
What? That's a pirate.
Scottish
pirate.
They would have had boats.
I'm Sean Connery, the Scottish pirate. I reckon the least sexiest. We should talk about the least sexiest. It's got to be, and mate, your bride, Badge, Beck. Beautiful lady.
Mine?
Beck. No, Sats.
No, that's my bride-to-be.
She's from Manala in Queensland.
No.
Beck.
Beck Kiwi accent. It's just not sexy.
South Kiwi accents are good.
Are they?
Because they've got a Scottish.
Are they different? They're not different.
They are. The bottom of the south of New Zealand have got the Scottish influence and the Irish influence. They all moved down there because they had good soil to grow spuds. So they've got the Irish and Scottish influence, and so they roll their R's. The South Island, the bottom of the South Island. She's down near Dunedin, so.
You know, Perth's got a bit of an accent that's a bit sort of Kiwi or.
So do you Queenslanders.
Or something.
So do you Queenslanders have
we
a.
We do not,
you
Nat.
Do. Maybe it's just a problem with the English language. I'm getting confused.
What about South African?
Oh, yeah. That's not South.
That's difficult. That's difficult to understand.
Not my cup of tea.
Mm.
Least sexiest
and
accent.
They're always yelling at you. Sorry.
Are they?
Even when they talk.
Maybe that's just you, Badge.
I just sound angry, yeah.
Hey, Adam Peacock will join us live from CommBank Stadium, formerly Bank West Stadium in Sydney. Do we have to keep saying, every time we say CommBank Stadium, we have to say formerly Bank West Stadium? Or do you think people
just
are just...
Just for the time being, you do.
People aren't stupid.
Just to educate people.
They play
Western
a lot of
Sydney Stadium.
Okay. Matildas versus Brazil game there tonight. Adam Peacock will join us from there. Chris Nelson's back. Isn't he walking around like John Wayne in a Western at the moment?
He's walking around like Adam Peacock.
Honestly, I followed his tips. I don't think he got any right.
He did, mate. He did. He got about three out of four on the weekend. He did, mate. Trust me.
Emerald Kingdom, Star Tontes, Gravina, none of them.
I backed one of them and I ignored one of them to beat what I backed.
Pondus. No, there was none of them. Okay. Well, anyway.
Okay, Satch, you want to talk about this one?
I'm the one who's broke after following his tips. I should know.
You made a cup of tea last week when he gave out his tips.
I did, yeah, true.
Sports update for Farmers Business Network. October sale on now. Order online with confidence. FBN.com/direct. Satch, this is something you want to have a chat about tonight. The NRL considering a rookie draft.
Yeah, there's some pros and cons about a rookie draft. And it's probably a little bit confusing to talk it at nauseam about. There's a lot of moving pieces when it comes to a draft. And we don't understand the draft per se when it comes to rugby league because it's not part of our landscape. It's a US model, and of course the AFL use it, and it does get confusing. But when you look at junior rookies, that means your players that are 17, 18, coming out of school, where do they go? Will a draft does stop clubs signing players, young players, en masse? Is it something the game needs? Is it something that we have to try and push those better players towards the bottom place clubs to strengthen their longevity? So, yeah, it's something definitely worth talking about at NRL level, I think.
I know you'd be a bit concerned, and there would be some concerns, Sats, around where's the incentive for clubs to continue developing players and spending money in the grassroots and bringing all these kids through? Where's the incentive for them to do that? At the moment, there is a good incentive there because you can get those kids in your system and look after them, and hopefully you keep them before the likes of the rich clubs come along and pilfer them. So, you know, in a couple of good examples, I think Andrew Abdo gave these today. Sam Walker, Joseph Suwali ended up at the Roosters. You know, that's the sort of thing they're trying to avoid. I don't know if a draft does it. I just, or would it be more like a transfer system? But no.
Well, yeah, with a junior draft, a junior development will be, as you're saying, Badger, will be forgotten per se. You know, there won't be a lot of money thrown into junior development.
Well, what if you get first dibs at a number of players in your area, Sats?
Well, that's got to be one of the, I think that's got to be one of the credentials that falls in favour of a club that hosts a certain junior development region. Now, the argument to that, Badge, is that if you're the Roosters, you say, hang on a sec, we don't have any junior development in our region, so
no,
yours is
get
bigger
a region,
than ours.
Though.
Yours is bigger than ours.
But everyone gets a region. I've been sort of, I did talk to this years ago with David Smith about it, the former CEO. So everyone gets a region. You divide up, you know, certain areas. You can get a small part in country New South Wales, a big part in country New South Wales. That's a big area. You get a huge area of that. That's the Roosters. And maybe, you know, just a little part, you know, central western in Queensland. You get that. And then they work out a way to divvy up all of these areas so that then these clubs are all paying attention to them. And those juniors that come out of there, they get first dibs at them. They go, okay, you can have, each year you can have 3 to 5 players out of your area. The rest of them go into the draft.
Yeah. You know, it will. And I mean, it's such a self-indulged game, rugby league. So that there'll be arguments around initially, and that's longevity. It's your role to develop that region, make it stronger. You know, the argument that will come back is, well, we've got region A, you've got region B, but region B is stronger than region A when it comes to the talent of players. So there's, you know, I don't know how we get to the other side.
Wouldn't that be your goal to, if based roughly on number of junior players that is divided up pretty evenly, wouldn't that be your goal to spend time and bring all those kids through long term over the next 5, 10, 15 years?
But if you can only keep 3 of them and the others are going to go into the draft, you're developing them for someone else.
Each year. I mean, I don't know if it's 3 or 5 or 50. I don't know what the number is.
The pros are that it spreads the talent, and the bottom place teams get first dibs at some of the best talent in the country. So longevity-wise, it does strengthen your club. The cons, I feel, is as you've already alluded to, the junior development will be forgotten in relation to putting money in the grassroots.
What's the point? Yeah.
And the only incentive is that you are a young player that's 16, 17, and you train yourself to the point where you want to be part of the draft. Now, in the NFL, for example, not every player becomes part of the draft. You've got to be accepted as part of the draft. So the incentive is to train to be part of the draft. And I feel as though there might be a lot of players that would probably be left out and we would forget about. So,
I tend to think you're better off having clubs all aspiring to have a fantastic junior development program like the Panthers, for example. You want clubs to aspire to that, not just to keep all their money and go, we're just going to handpick the best. And some clubs decided many years ago to do that. Don't spend money on junior development. We'll just buy the best kids. And, you know, mentioned a couple already tonight.
I think we've got a really good model at the moment where I think every club should be linked to the second tier, New South Wales Cup, Queensland Cup, be forced to put money and better fund those clubs. Then they've got their under-21s competitions. Continue to fund through those. And any of those junior representatives, just transfer fees for players that come out of those teams, those junior rep teams and those second tier teams and under-21s teams, the dollar reward and compensate clubs for development.
Some thoughts there. If you've got some thoughts around a possible NRL rookie draft, love to hear them. 0457 736 736. Very quickly, we've got to go to a break. Cogra Oval Grandstand, great news today to be named after Norm Proven, which is good news. Beauty. And When there's good news, there's always bad news. Around the corner, Ben Stokes, it's official, is coming for the Ashes.
Ooh.
And we better talk to a man who's played in plenty of Ashes, Ian Healy, very soon.
And just on our text line, 0457 736 736, in relation to the Illawarra players or Dragons players.
Yep.
Because that's the studio that he's coming out of, Badge. We've got a text here. My dad always used to say when the Steelers had a bad day, when Neil Pincinelli was off his game, he's been on the scooies.
All right. That's our sports update for Farmers Business Network. October sale on now. Order online with confidence. FBN.com/direct. This is Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Ian Healy joins us next.
Got something to say? Text us anytime. 0457 736 736. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Badge and Sats for your Tuesday night. Non-Tuesday, Teamless Tuesday, we call it throughout the footy season. We're allowed to do that, aren't we, boys? Whatever we like. Okay. Big news for English cricket supporters. Don't know about for Aussie cricket fans. Well, I'm excited because you want to see the best players going at each other from December 8th at the Gabba for the Ashes. I do.
No, you want the worst players out. No. You want the best players out so you can
smash them. Yeah.
You blokes do. But the man I'm about to talk to wants to play against the best to be the best. Ian Healy, welcome to Sports Day. I'm right, aren't I, mate?
Jason, don't put words in my mouth, mate. I'm with Fats. Sophie, stay home.
Yeah, exactly.
And Jofra Archer, don't get any ideas that your elbow is coming. You know, because he would love playing in Australia as well.
Now, Heels, we keep hearing stories with this announcement of Ben Stokes about the effect that he has on the players around him, driving standards up. Is he that much of an influence on this English side?
Yes, I think he would be. He's lived and breathed a lot of time with Warnie. So Warnie, you know, and that's like an Ian Botham type model where he gives other players confidence just by being in the team. Now, even if his, you know, left index finger doesn't really come up and he's not as effective with the bat, he'll be you know, athletic in the field. He'll be able to bowl with his right arm and support the three quicks that were going to be without him. And still encourage and lead. So, but I'd expect him to be, you know, almost fully fit, even if he's short of a run. But it's only in July that he stopped playing. He was captain of England in July. So he'll be right. He should be fresh. He's dealt with his mental issues, if whatever they were. I think it was just fatigue, probably, and physical injuries. So operation's done, and he's back.
Now, Stuart Broad, Jimmy Anderson, they're the other two frontline bowlers, aren't they? Now, you throw Benny Stokes into the equation, and Michael Vaughan, their former great skipper, has said, I was always going to be a 5-0 victory to Australia with the squad they're taking out. How much does that change now if Michael Vaughan had his time over again with Stokes in the side?
Yeah, he'd be saying it's 3-2 either way, I reckon. And because you've got another fella called Ollie Robinson, who's a real tall thing that really hits the pitch. He should enjoy bowling as well as Broad and Anderson. And they're going to need to be better. Broadie and Anderson haven't been super successful in Australia, so they're going to need to come with a lot of energy. Then Robinson, then Stokes to back all that up. And then the spinners need a bit of a hand. But then Stokes in the batting order gives Joe Root another lung. You know, he gives him a lot of confidence. I think he's probably the number one batsman in the world at the moment, Joe Root, with the 12 months he's had. And he too is looking for better performances in Australia. But their top order is really shaky. Root's been holding it together. And their middle order's not bad with Butler and Bairstow. So Stokes fits beautifully into that as well. That 100 he made, I don't know whether you'd like to watch much of it in 2019. Mm-hmm. It's a very famous 100. He made 135 and won them the game, you know, having been in super trouble when he went in. It's an incredible innings. I would say maybe in the top three innings in Ashes history, that's what he can do.
Oh, wow. Well, now tell me you were only joking about Jofra Archer, weren't you? He's not. There's no chance of him changing his mind too and saying he's okay?
Well, not that we know of. We think he's not coming, but he might really pump some anti-inflammatories into that elbow. And out he comes as well.
He's so frightening, isn't he?
You know, but he can be, you know, and he's experienced in Australia because he's played in our Big Bash for a fair few years, 3 years maybe. He'll be chomping at the bit to get out to Perth and Brisbane and these wickets where he can really get it at the throat of the batsman, you know. So, we haven't heard of any inkling of him being able to get here.
Yeah, so the first test, early December at the Gabba, which you must be pleased to have heard that. There was a lot of debate around, would they come to Queensland first because they've got a quarantine and they're saying we'll have two tests in Sydney. It's outstanding news, isn't it? We got last week that they're definitely coming to the Gabba first up.
Yeah, because there were some options for them now. They didn't have to quarantine. They go to Sydney, they don't have to quarantine, do they? They can roam.
Mm-hmm.
And they could, you know, but they still decided we're coming to the Gold Coast, we're going to quarantine because they're bringing two teams. They're bringing the Young Lions team. And so they've got an opponent within the hub, in the bubble that they can play against. So training will be great. And they're going to give themselves time to acclimatise to Australia, the weather, let alone the pitches. And the last time they did that, they won out here under Andrew Strauss. So they're finally going to give themselves a month's preparation and maybe a bit more than that before the first test in December 8. So that's a good thing for them. It's a good cricketing move. It's a good health move. And it should set their tour up very well.
And Stokes is going to need it with the lack of game fitness that he will have coming to Australia. Now, it's the first time he's played an Ashes series in Australia. Heels 2013, he debuted at Adelaide. And he missed the 17-18 series. So first time in Australia with an Ashes series for nearly 10 years. Does that play much of a part with a different climate, different pitches, whatever that may be?
Oh, he's used to that, I reckon. It'll fire him up, you know. They're really desperate for, you know, good performances. He's made a century against Australia in Perth, so he's one that has got a century. Joe Root, for example, hasn't got a test century here. So he'll be fired up. I think it'll fire Australia up as well. It just makes the clash a lot more meaty. Stokes, he'll always be classified as short of a run until he gets into the test series, you know. You don't duplicate test atmosphere without playing it, you know. I think he's a natural type player that doesn't need a whole lot of preparation. He could come in and fly by the seat of his pants and perform very much like Ian Botham, you know.
He's Kiwi too.
The ball hard. Yeah, he born in New Zealand and his dad played rugby league for New Zealand. And so when he was out here in that 2013, he was trying to play the tough guy, you know, and the Australians were good enough they could just laugh at him. I don't think they'll be laughing at him a bit these days. So he'll be out here to enforce, and he'll be okay with the conditions and capable of handling it all.
Yeah, it's exciting. Now, we spoke to Joey Burns yesterday around Will Pukowski and, of course, that 10th concussion that he's had in a training mishap last week. Are we hearing about what's going to happen with Pukowski and what that opening partnership may look like when it comes Ashes time?
No, we're not. It's way up in the air. Now, Pukowski, I think they start a Shield game tomorrow that he wasn't available for against New South Wales. And then there's one next week back in Victoria. So the two COVID lockdown states playing against each other back-to-back. He can play next week from all reports. So all eyes will be on him, of course. Burnsy wouldn't have given him much, eh? He would have told you, he's really struggling.
He was very empathetic, he was, actually.
Oh, well,
yeah, the voodoo doll out.
So, no, it's all up in the air. Khawaja batted as convincingly as he ever has last week. So, there's two spots up for grabs. There's number five and there's number one. And then, of course, David Warner, if he comes back and can't get himself back into form, you know, there's a number two spot that they'll be scrutinising as well. So all the batsmen should be very motivated and excited about any time they get to the middle, make it count.
Heels, I keep getting rubbish by these two blokes because Badge reckons I want to kick Warner out of the Australian team.
You do.
How many more chances does he get at T20 level?
Two.
Two more.
I reckon, in this World Cup. They've got an incredibly hard draw. Like Scotland and Namibia qualified and went into the other pool, right? Mm. Guess who our pool qualifiers were? Mm. Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. Mm. Both of them can beat us. So our pool, all five teams are incredibly tough, right? So we've won one, I just want to make sure David's form is better than it has been, and his energy and his ethic is, you know, high energy. And he was in the first game. His enthusiasm around the field, excellent. So he's gonna have a presence. But I'd say we can't have him failing dismally too many more times. That's in this World Cup. Then, and especially Finchie. If Finchie, the captain, who's straight out of hospital, can't get going, you know, they're putting too much pressure on this quite a flamboyant middle order that we've got. But our flamboyant middle order had to block it the other day, and we struggled to chase down 119 because the top order pressure of failures. So I wouldn't be giving him unlimited scope at the top of the order there. Jace, I'm with you. And then, of course, you get back to Australia. These guys, I think they've got time for one or two Shield games where he can really get back to the red ball. And then, you know, test match form will come under the microscope and he mightn't have too long. You know, batsmen can lose their eye, and that's one thing. It's a physical or physiological thing, their reflexes and eye, and then your heart and head. Your heart's got to be in it if you're going to face someone bowling at you at 145 k's an hour and you need to make decisions on where you're going to score. And if you're not quite into it, you're going to get found out. And I don't think he's there yet, but it happens quickly.
Let's hope he gets some runs, hey, because an informed Dave Warner looks good for the T20 World Cup and also the Ashes ahead. And let's hope the Gold Coast nightclubs do their bit too to unsettle the Poms when they arrive here in a couple of weeks' time, Eels. That could rattle them a bit.
Yep.
There could be a few punch-ups outside Shooters or wherever they go.
Yeah, around the falafel joints, you know, like the Richmond Tigers, you know, in service. And traditionally, the England cricket team have been a pretty easy target.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We'll see what sort of discipline they cut. They love it. They get out and about and love. They just love life, and they've got a good attitude to playing cricket.
Well,
they might have to curb that.
Will they just create another Barmy Army over here with expats that are living here, you think, Neil?
Yeah, they've worked on it for about a year. Australian-based Pommies and Australian-based Barmy Army has been worked on, and I think they're queuing up. The pressure on tickets to Australia when they can do it and they know how they're going to do it are high. They're ready to flood in. It should be good exciting atmosphere.
Ilsey, can I just ask you something? Are you a vegetarian?
I'm not.
No, okay. No. Now, when you said we call them kebab joints, but I thought if you're a vegetarian...
Yeah, I couldn't think of what I normally do.
What do you...
I'm not thinking straight when I'm outside one of those joints.
No, it is.
I thought you'd be a pizza slice guy, Heels. That surprised me.
I'm not.
Yeah.
All right. No, I was just, my reference was Richmond Tigers, you know, and they had a blue out of front of the surface, you know, that's all. Hey. I'd probably be Macca's. Since I've been 24 hours, I'd go to Macca's.
You're speaking Jace's language. Hey, Jace has been asking our cricket guests and also some of the listeners over the last few days, if you had in T20 World Cup final, you got one over left, you need 20 runs. In the history of the game, across all continents, who's the player that you're sending in?
To bat. Mm. You mean to bat?
Yeah.
How many have we got to get? 20?
20.
Jeez, well, you know, one of these World Cups, right, this T20 World Cup, about three ago, Ben Stokes was bowling to Carlos Brathwaite.
Yes.
And he took him for five sixes.
Yes.
So I'd be putting him on my list. I think at the moment, geez.
Can be pass play too. Heels could have been.
I said Simon O'Donnell.
Yeah, Scoob would be good.
I said Michael Bevan. That got poo-pooed.
He's
a bit too. He's a bit too cumulative. He's not about not a six hitter.
What about Viv?
Viv Richards.
Viv would be great.
Joey Burns said, "Who's that?"
Yeah.
No, he said half the blokes wouldn't know who he is. And I went, "Oh, you're kidding."
Yeah, no, Burns, he can't remember past 1999. So that's his memory span, right? So he's from my club, and he always hammers me about that. A good six hitter. Kyron Pollard, they're current blokes. You know, Andre Russell.
What about
these blokes can just slam it?
What about the late
and
great
Gale in his peak?
Yes,
Gale in his peak. I can go back a bit, can I? Yeah,
yeah. You go, any era.
Chris Gale would be a good one.
What about the
Dougie Walters? I'm going.
Oh yes. What about the late great Dean Jones?
Dino. I wouldn't. I'd have him in any team that I'm in, but he's a sneak. He's a run sneak. doesn't hit big sixes until he's about 120, and he just runs you off your feet. So no, I wouldn't put him in for a final over dash. Jesus, there's a few. There's a left hand.
What about Satz's suggestion of Greg Shippard? I saw Greg Shippard 4 days to get 51, and Dirk Weller. Imagine those two batting together.
And on the fourth afternoon, he raised his bat. He's very proud of his 50 too.
All right,
Jeffrey Boycott.
There you go. Yeah, Boycott is another one. Yeah.
All right, mate. We better let you go. Thanks.
Well, for... both. Yeah. It just depends who's bowling. That's another thing, you know. Yes. T20 is all about matchup. So no matter who you send in, I'll have a bowler that he doesn't like, and I'm putting him on.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, that sort of stuff. So,
Hills.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's good fun.
We can't wait. The Poms will be in town in around about 2 weeks' time. So get those night.
No, November 4, is that right? That's only late next week.
Well, yeah, end of next week.
On your doorstep.
Oh, geez, mate. We'll get those nightclubs ready for them, ready to go. All the wives will be at, no doubt, Pacific Fair and all that sort of stuff.
Beauty salons.
All that, theme parks, you name it.
This is not such a cricket thing, but it would be a rugby league thing. When you arrive at the hotel, just put a pile of drink cards in there. You know, the rugby, the leagues would love that.
We used to do that when clubs used to come and play us in the Gold Coast Chargers in 1997. We used to have the Shooters girls used to wait at the airport and gave them all drink cards before they even got to the hotel.
And we stayed. What was that place? We stayed at this place at Narang, and we got there and we thought, oh, this is a bit ordinary. Yeah, that was it. The Shooters girls, they were to meet the guys and take them out.
Pellman's Barn.
All right. We'll leave that conversation there.
Fortunately, the barn. Yep.
Mary Blokes didn't go.
It's all been done before. Get it on the track again.
There you go. Ian Healy exclusively telling us on Sports Day how to rattle the Poms ahead of the first test at the Gabba. Thanks for your time on Sports Day, Heels.
Cheers, fellas. Bye.
This is Sports Day for the new Kia Niro. We better get to a break.
This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Badge and Sats here for your Tuesday night. Lots of text messages coming through, boys, by the way. 0457 736 736. Badge coming to us from the St. George Illawarra home studio tonight.
I am.
So we're after your Dragons and your Steelers favourite players of all time. So get your text through 0457 736 736.
Sporty Gav from Newcastle. He's got a couple of says here, comments here in relation to players and also the Ashes. Hi, Badge, Sats and Woogie. I want Glenn Maxwell. I want to see Glenn Maxwell batting for Australia in this year's Ashes series. Ooh. Here are my favourite Dragon Steelers players. Stevie Morris, Craig Young, Brad McKay, Michael Beattie. He was tough, Michael Beattie. John Doherty and Michael Bolt. Badge, you touched on Michael Bolt, didn't you? He was one of the favourites of the Illawarra.
Yeah, there's been amazing players over the years, haven't they, for those clubs, the two separate clubs and the joint venture, and some players that played for both.
Mm. Now, we also talk about the stadiums or that you'd like to see an event at. What's on your bucket list? Now, mine's Lambeau Field. Badge, I'd love to go to Old Trafford, where you've played test matches at. Greatest test match of all time at Old Trafford, wasn't it?
Apparently.
Love to go to Old Trafford. Doesn't matter what I'd watch. I just want to go there.
Millennium Stadium.
Yeah.
In Cardiff.
That's in Cardiff.
Huge.
Now, Tigers fan says, Yankee Stadium, Yankees versus Dodgers. Smash out large beers and nachos. You'd be there for that, wouldn't you, Woogie?
I've done that there, mate. I've done it. It's
Did you get tickets? Yeah. How hard would it be to get tickets?
It's easy, mate. You just rock up and buy them. I've been to Yankee Stadium, the old one and the new one.
Really?
In fact, Anita, my wife, was on Kiss Cam by herself.
Oh, my God.
I was getting hot dogs, came back, and she was on the big screen.
Mm. You sure she's by herself?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Why? I said to her, how do you go on the Kiss screen if you're not kissing someone?
Exactly. Just find someone. Singapore F1, Singapore Indy Cars, F1 one week, Indy the next.
That would be awesome. That's the night race.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to the V8's Twilight.
Yeah,
really looking forward to that. Hi, boys.
I've never been to Bathurst.
Nor have I.
That's crazy. It should be Bathurst. All Aussies should go to Bathurst at least once.
Badge. Mm.
No showering for 4 or 5 days. Yep. Bury your beer in August. How good is it?
First spirit is at like 8:42 in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, you're in a late shift, eh?
This is from Woz. He says, guys, love the show. Favourite Dragons players, the great Billy Smith, Changa Langlands, a very close second. Now, Billy Smith was one of the great halfbacks of all time. And I think he's not always spoken about in the same length as what we have with some of the great halfbacks of all time. He was a tremendous player, Badge, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah, and actually played in some of the grand, and for Australia in some of the grand finals in the centres as well. So really versatile player he was Billy Smith. What a rogue.
Yeah.
What a lovable larrikin, yeah.
Stewie from Cronulla. Already achieved my bucket list. I saw my team, the Boston Red Sox, play at Fenway Park. My future bucket list would be to see Aston Villa win the FA Cup at Wembley. Badge, you played at Wembley? Did you understand the history of it all when you went
that
over
That was
there?
A couple of weeks before that great match at Old Trafford. And we had a bit of a shocker, actually. The Poms beat us. The first time they'd beaten Australia in a long time. Yeah, I did. It was kind of surreal. It was one of those places you go to and go, wow, we are at the home of, you know, the FA Cup. And it was quite amazing. And had the track going around it.
Of course, you had to walk across that when you walked out for the national anthem, didn't you?
So a bit of an oval shape, which is not ideal for league. But yeah, the Poms played really well that day, and not so much us. But it was great to have played there.
Mm. Now we've got Briggsy here. He said Briggsy from Huddersfield. He said my favourite Steelers player is Andy Gregory. Remember him? the rolled up sleeves and the shorts were all rolled up as well.
Yeah,
legs.
I think did he have a couple of seasons at the Steelers?
He did. Him and Steve Hampson, the fullback. Remember they went They went through the Panasonic Cup final and Brisbane Broncos beat them. I think it might have been 89. It might have been. Yeah.
Yes.
0457 736 736. Keep your text messages coming through. Stephen sent us a text. Filthiest language going around: Dutch. We've also asked for unsexy accents.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a bit unfair on the is Dutch.
Also,
on the back of Heels is really good interview. David Warner is cooked, Nick from Newcastle says.
Yeah, he says Mitchell Pearce is as well. There you go. Keep your texts coming through. This is Sports Day. Thanks to the new Kia Niro. Chris Nelson joins us next.
Got something to say? Text us anytime. 0457 736 736. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. For Kia, the new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. On Sports Day, time for a Racing Queensland update. Queensland is your place to race this year.
Oh, it's an honour to be in the company of the tipping guru himself, Chris Nelson. Hello, mate.
Jace, it's a changing field each week, isn't it? One week's good, the next week's not so good, and then you have a good one.
No, I wouldn't say that. I'd say one week's good, then there's eight bad.
That's not true. Now you're making it up.
You had an outstanding weekend, didn't you? But also, there was a big, big night, Friday night as well.
Yeah, down at the Valley in Melbourne, we saw the running of the Group 1 there, the Manukato Stakes, and another victory for Queensland. It's been a massive spring for Queensland horses, with the Jonker winning the Group 1 there for Tony Gollan, and Daniel Moore is having a great spring himself. So, yeah, Jonker went to the front, took a little bit of pushing to get there, but once he got there, he settled beautifully and he was able to hold them off very, very late. So good performance from Jonker. Just another winner to come out of Queensland's Winter Carnival. So it just gets better and better, doesn't it?
Sure does. What about this week, mate? What are we expecting?
Well, we've got racing, of course, at Ipswich tomorrow. We go to Rockhampton Thursday, Kilcoy Friday, Aquas. Now, four meetings on Saturday, four tab meetings on Saturday, and they are the main one, of course, at Eagle Farm, Aquas Gold Coast and Aquas Bow Desert. And we've also got a meeting, of course, at Toowoomba in the Twilight Zone. The Yeppoon Cup is being run Saturday afternoon. That's a lovely part of the world too.
Do you know where Yeppoon is?
Yes, it's North Queensland.
No, it's next to your
it's
fork.
Near the, yes, I was going to say, there's a tag here, but I'm not going to fall for it.
Stick with me, buddy. It's next to your knife. Yeppoon. All right, yeah, continue. Great part of the world, Yeppoon.
It is. Cairns on Sunday afternoon. Now, no meeting at the Sunshine Coast on Sunday because they have three meetings next week. Of course, we have Melbourne Cup Day Tuesday. I think there's something like, and I better count this again, but 30-odd meetings in Queensland on Melbourne Cup Day. Not bad for a non-public holiday, is it?
Yeah, pretty good. All right, mate, it's going to be a big week. Any tips for tomorrow? Doomben tomorrow, are we?
No, we're racing at Ipswich tomorrow. Ah. Look, there do look to be a couple of good things there, but I'm just waiting to see. Looking at the radar, there's a heap of storms around. So not knowing what the track condition's going to end up like and if they even run, I'll keep the powder dry at this stage.
All right, mate. You can make sure you stay out of the hail. Apparently lots of hail around up your way this afternoon and tonight. Queenslanders racing. The action continues this week across the sunny state. Visit racingqueensland.com.au. We'll chat tomorrow.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Jase.
0457 736 736. Our text number here on Sports Day. Lots coming through about all different things tonight, Sats and Batch.
Yeah, there is the worst language, because the sexiest language was voted the Scottish.
Scottish.
And you're saying the worst is the Kiwi accent.
Oh, mate.
I disagree.
South African.
South African's up there.
Mm. I love the Russian. That's sexy.
See, when, the way
not
you,
in a Putin
no,
way.
No, the way you say it is creepy.
It's creepy.
The way you say, if you just said, "Oh, the Russian language is sexy."
Well, I thought I had to sell Russian language a bit better.
But the way you say it is really creepy.
Okay, go ahead.
Also, favorite Dragons players, and we've got one here: Scotty Goulet, Eastwood Rugby, New South Wales Rugby, Australian Rugby, then St George Australian League player as well. His father, Robin Goulet, played many a game in the New South Wales Rugby League as well, didn't he, Badge?
You did. He sure did. And Scotty, fine player. Played for Australia, Papua New Guinea Tour, 1991.
Yep.
Great guy.
Ben Huxley and Griffith says, if you in the AFL, you're drafted. We talked about the draft maybe being introduced in the NRL, junior draft. In the AFL, you're drafted to a club when you're 18 or 19. That means it makes a local club stronger, especially out in the bush, because they've got to stay there. They've got to stay there and play in their local comps. Mm. So it makes them strong. Good point, sure. Benny.
Mm. Yes.
Any more?
Yeah, there's lots more. In relation to the draft as well, you'd have to have a father and son or uncle rule too. That's from Hillstorm, which is in the AFL
as well. Yeah. Rightio.
Uncle rule.
Uncle rule.
Uncle draft.
First uncle.
All righty. Keep your texts coming through. 0457 736. Particularly, what's on your bucket list? Which venue do you want to go watch a sporting event? This is Sports Day for the all-new Kia Niro electric SUV range. It has landed. Back shortly.
Got something to say? Text us anytime. 0457 736 736. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.